So after a very eventful Thruxton in the rain as well, we move on to what's going to be a very warm, at the moment very humid, Snetterton. David Addison, a different kettle of fish, to quote a cliche, this weekend.
Different circuit, different weather, different feel in the paddock as well, because we're going to have a crowd, a limited crowd, but a crowd back, which is going to help the atmosphere. And I think you come here really without a clear picture of who's good, who's bad, who's quick, who's slow yet, because Thruxton was such a lottery because of the weather conditions. And then with a, what do we have, 5-week break or something like that, you know, you don't really feel as though you've got to chapter two of the book yet, do you?
It's like starting again this weekend, isn't it? Let's just touch briefly on Thruxton before we look ahead to this weekend. For me, arguably, driver of the day, Jake Hill, third race, on slicks, in the wet.
Mega car control. And what he was doing at Thruxton was, in a sense, and I hate the phrase, flying under the radar, but it kind of fits for the moment. He just got on with the job and he banked points. And we have seen from years past that there are more ways than one to win a championship. It's not all about race wins. Yes, I mean, how much of that was a great Jake Hill weekend or how much of that was other people having a bad weekend, you can discuss. Lots of the other star drivers, if you like, had a two-thirds weekend. You know, they had a couple of good races like Josh Cook and then a bad one. Gordon Shedden had two bad races and a really good one and came through from the back of the grid. Colin Turkington had that tangle with Ash Sutton and a penalty, and that did for him in one race. Ash had his dramas in that same race. So very few people got away unscathed from the weekend in terms of, other than Jake, just consistently banking points. So that's partly why I say, you know, we still don't have a clear picture. We've only had that one event. It was rain affected, penalties affected in the last race, because if you weren't down at the 3-minute board with the tyre choice done, you got that stop-go penalty, which is what we saw for Josh Cook and Tom Ingram. It's going to be absolutely fascinating.
It's almost like you literally got to draw a line in the sand, haven't you, and say, right, let's put Thruxton to bed. I know Jake Hill's got the bragging rights and the 1-point lead.
And the weight.
Which is great for him, of course. Yeah. But coming to Snetterton, we've got a potentially very hot weekend, which means hot track temperature. We've got the option tyre, the longest circuit, I think, in the calendar, and the shootout, which is going to make for an exciting weekend.
The shootout particularly, because I wasn't at Snetterton last year, so it's something I've not yet been able to cover in a touring car life. And it does bring something extra. Now, you know, I like qualifying sessions that have a bit of drama, a bit of jeopardy. Other people will argue that it's a waste of time because qualifying's a means to an end. People go home talking about the racing, not qualifying. But it does have the effect of giving you a different grid for the first race. The first race will give you what you have for the second, and so on. So it does play an important part. Q1, if you like, is going to be about not being slow more than about being quick. Then you'll really start to see the stars in that second session for the top 10. And of course, if you're doing that with weight, it's going to be a really tough ask around a long lap, as you say.
Who do you think might be the stars of this wing? Who are the heroes and who are the zeros this weekend?
My cop-out answer is that you take a pin in the entry list and you put the two together, Steve. Yeah. It is so difficult because I'm not just saying it, I'm not saying this to talk up the championship, but genuinely you have probably as competitive an entry as we've had in the last 20 years. It's at the top level, and so are the teams operating the cars. And we're talking in qualifying terms of thousandths of a second now as margins between individual cars. We're talking of 20-ish covered by under a second, if not more, at certain circuits. So you would think that anybody that's got limited weight or no weight will have a better chance. But the importance of starting at the front of the grid, and I'm, you know, talking about this qualifying shootout in isolation here, I know it sounds obvious, but starting at the front of the grid gets you out of jeopardy.
Yeah.
So you could say, well, I've got in the top 10, that'll do, I'll go with row 5. No, because you've got to be up the grid to try and be ahead of any of the dramas on the first few corners. So everybody, in theory, should be trying just as hard. But I would go with people that have got limited or zero weight having a chance. Is it going to be a rear-wheel drive circuit? Well, arguably. Colin Turkington got 2 wins here last year. And the infield, where you've got some slow corners, you need to get the power down and get out of those effectively. You could say that's going to help rear-wheel drive. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against people saying that Colin Turkington could well win races, nor would I argue with people saying Ash Sutton could, nor Gordon Shedden, nor Jake Hill, and on goes the list, you know?
You can't back against at least half the grid, can you?
No, and isn't that the beauty of the championship? That genuinely, you come into this not knowing who is going to win. Last year, people were complaining that it was the Turkington and Sutton show. Well, to an extent, on occasions, it was, because you had two star drivers in very similar platforms of car, you know, four-door saloon, rear-wheel drive, run by very good teams, at the top of their game. Well, you know, they didn't win every race. Let's not delude ourselves. But right now, with so little data for the season to go on, yeah, it's not a lottery, I don't think, here, but it is going to be really fascinating to see who can nail it in free practice, who can get the car absolutely right for qualifying.
It'd be interesting to see if there are multiple podiums for any individual driver, whether, you know, one driver takes one, two or three races, or has a podium in all three races, wouldn't it? Because as you've already alluded to, that level of consistency is what wins championships.
Yeah, you're right. And we also saw at Thruxton, with Josh Cook having two wins, that although the ballast has gone up again for a win, back up to 75, you can still cope with it. Of course it has an effect, and it's going to hurt if you've got to try and get your way through. Well, here, it's a fairly flat circuit. Maybe that's not going to have quite the drama. So qualify well for race one, get a pole for race one, win it, could be on for a double. But equally, you've got to factor in 20 so-and-so drivers around you that have got other ideas.
A couple of new faces, well, returning faces, really, this weekend. Senna Proctor has joined BTC Racing for the rest of the season. I've spoken to him. He's delighted to be back. Actually, can't believe his luck, I think, was his words. And Jess Hawkins, who's sitting in for Andy Neat. So it's going to be interesting to see how the two of them do.
It is. I mean, Senna Proctor, we know, is a race winner. And he spent the last couple of years having to develop a car, learn about a car, as well as develop as a driver himself. And so, certainly last year with the Hyundai, you know, he did a good job. But is it fair to judge him on that season of trying to bring a new team and a new car through the championship? Here is a team that's established in a car that's established. Downside, certainly for the first race, he carries Dan Kamish's weight, accrued at Thruxton. So he starts slightly on the back foot, but we know he's good, and it's good to have him back in the championship. He's a race winner, so he's one of those people that are too good to lose. And Jess Hawkins, again, delivered last year, and it's an interesting decision by Andy Neat to stand down. It's an interesting choice of driver. I think Jess will be keen to, if you like, keep her head down, get on with the job, learn, keep out of trouble, take three good results. You know, it gives us, I think, for the first time since August 2001, two female racers on the touring car grid. And prior to that, you've got to go back to 1989. So it doesn't happen very often that we've got, you know, in the case of Jade Edwards and Jess Hawkins, two female racers on the grid, which is good for the championship. Equally, having said that, both of them want to be considered as drivers, not as female drivers. Yeah. But it's one of those little quirky stats. Yeah, look, it's going to be tough to be thrown in and really just for one event. So we'll see how she copes.
Just finally, a couple of drivers who perhaps didn't get out of Thruxton what they were expecting, and maybe, you know, this weekend we're looking for them to do better. Tom Chilton, who I think was disappointed, had some mechanical issues last weekend, and of course Gordon Shedden, a massive fanfare of him coming back, and I guess he must have left here, because he flies himself home to Scotland, doesn't he? He must have left here, you know, in his aircraft at 5,000 feet, cursing what happened at Thruxton.
I think there was an occasion in the first race where he could have flown back without the plane. He was in orbit with fury, wasn't he? That wasn't the comeback that he'd anticipated, and it wasn't the comeback to the championship that we'd anticipated, but it goes to show that over 30 races, even a star driver can be tripped up. But it's not the end of his championship. You know, that the third race reminded people what he could do, and as other people were in strife, so he banked some points. You know, I can remember being at Donington in that year that Colin Turkington won the championship with the one win, where he had an awful day, and Tim and I were saying, is this him out of the championship? You know, it's a dreadful day. But no, you can regroup, you can bank points. Gordon knows how to win championships. Dynamics knows how to win championships. So, yeah, I was surprised at Thruxton that Gordon didn't have a win. I'd be very surprised if he didn't score podiums, plural, this weekend. Tom Chilton and the BMW, yeah, there were a few sort of new car, new team relationship gremlins, I think, possibly. But, you know, the team can deliver, he can deliver, that just needs to knit together. They'll have gone away and looked at the data, and, you know, you kind of forget in Sicily the brains trust that is there. You know, Tom Chilton in isolation is a very, very accomplished touring car driver. That's a team that's got hold of these two brand new cars and is learning about running them. But Steve Farrell, who's the senior engineer there, has been around the block and got almost every T-shirt going. You know, he's run Formula One teams. He's run World Rally Championship teams. He's run touring car teams. He's run his own team. He's raced in single-seaters going back to Ben Hur's days. There's a huge amount of experience there. It just needs to knit together, and it will do. There's no argument, in my opinion, that it will happen there.
Could be a little while, couldn't it, before we start to look at the data and say, right, these are our top five or six.
Yeah, I would have thought probably around 29 of the championship, ideally, wouldn't you? You know, we know how the championship pans out. You get to Brands Hatch at the end of the season, and there's normally a goodly number of people, some outsiders, yes, but mathematically, that can win the championship, and that's what we all want. The worst thing is when, you know, even in the penultimate round, it's decided we want to go to the last lap not knowing who the champion is. And yeah, as you say, quite rightly, at the moment, we have so little to go on. And there are so many good drivers and team and car combinations. Come back to the point we've discussed, you and I, before. Pure maths means you can't have everybody in the top six, however good they are. You know, you could come up with a list of probably 15 plausible race winners. Well, there's only going to be one at the end when that checkered flag comes out, and somebody's going to be disappointed. Lots of people are going to be disappointed, and that's why it's one of the many contributing factors to us enjoying the championship so much, because everybody wants to win. The racing on the back of that is outstanding. It is the best, the fiercest racing you'll find anywhere. You've got heroes and villains. You've got so much in the championship. Long may it continue in that vein.
Absolutely. It's going to be another cracking weekend here at Snetterton. Just one last little bit. Will you be wearing those shorts in your commentary box? You're going to be seen from the waist up, aren't you? So you could be, couldn't you?
The shorts, which I better explain on radio, are a sort of mustardy yellow.
I'll be back in fashion soon.
I'm hoping so, one day. Somebody asked me earlier if I'd moored the yacht anywhere. But I think I should be totally on message and black uniform for ITV, which is going to be really nice in the hot weather, isn't it? Soaking up the heat. This is my one day of being out in the fresh air and looking like a tourist.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks very much, Steve.